Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Paul writes to the Romans that we are here groaning and waiting to be with the Lord. And as we sing along or listen to the glorious songs, we wish with all our hearts that this day would come soon. It must come so that we can say, "Come soon, Lord Jesus." Perhaps it will still take a little while before that state is reached, but it will come, for so it is written. The hour will strike when we will have such a longing and simply say, "Come soon, Lord Jesus," that we all no longer like it on earth. At the moment, we are certainly still doing reasonably well. We may not completely agree with this or that, but be honest. Who wants to go up to the Lord so completely? Are some here? Yes, some are already here. I am thinking of the very old brother who was already well over 80, who always preached how marvelous it is in heaven, and when death wanted to take him away, he did everything he could to get everyone to pray that God wouldn't let him go. Yes, everything was so beautiful before, and when he was supposed to go where it was beautiful, he didn't want to, not at any price. He wanted to stay here. That's not how it should be with us. Our words and our testimony and our lives should match. When we say, "Lord, we love you," then it must be true. Then it must not just be words, but a divine reality by grace. We are grateful that we are allowed to come together. I almost want to say the word ashamed when I see you all here and know that some of you have traveled long distances and come to hear the word of the Lord. What seriousness and what certainty there must be in what is proclaimed here. What a responsibility is associated with it. God has helped us so far to really only proclaim with which we will stand our ground before Him. If I could say and know everything with as much certainty as that, then I would know everything for sure. Yes, the proclamation is right from A to Z. Whether we always agree with the proclamation is the second question. But with God, all things are possible. He can give us private lessons. He can bring us to the point where both are in agreement. I don't want to miss out on giving you all a warm welcome. And you know, I have simply made it my goal to be here every first weekend, and I appreciate it when you come, that we can contemplate God's word together. When I think about it, we come here from near and far to hear God's word. May it be nothing but God's word that we get to hear from beginning to end. And then today I also see our dear sister Vogt, who was terminally ill and who wanted to go home and whom the Lord has left here. God bless you. I still remember the visit to the hospital. Humanly speaking, we all had no hope, and yet God worked it out that way. If we can say, Lord, your will be done, and mean it, sometimes we say it and don't mean it, but when it's said from the heart and we mean it, when I knew or heard that you were coming, I thought of the saying you sent me some time ago, and I'll read it out. Prayer of a servant of Jesus. You have called me, Lord, to stand in your service. At the steps of your throne, let me worship and plead. Help me to proclaim salvation that you have given to the world, that many souls may find you who love and guide them. Let me live the love with which you always love me, and let me pass on the joy that you give. Even if the enemies rage and my strength breaks, you turn suffering into praise, make all fog light. Keep me on guard with strong hands. Let me fulfill the service you have given me. I often look at it. I have it framed on my desk. I've just taken it out now so that I can read it aloud. That is my heartfelt wish. For me, it means everything. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have said it again and again. If we live with him, then we will also die with him. That is, we will pass over into glory. We have very good news from everywhere. People want to hear God's word like never before. And we hope that a real harvest time is dawning. A harvest time in which many souls can be brought into the kingdom of God. I also had a call from Kenya this morning. And this is a group who have prepared interdenominational campaigns for Billy Graham, for Osborne and Sorulo, for all the big names. And I've heard about the ministry that God gave me and asked several times already, and finally this morning, if I will really come and maybe speak to a crowd there the second weekend in March, like never before. God opens doors. He opens gates. His word will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. And I will believe until the Lord comes that we are still in the time of grace. No one will be able to convince me that the time of grace has already passed or come to an end. No, our Lord himself said, work until I come. And when the last one has come in, then the door will close and then will be with the Lord. But there are also special prayer requests that have been passed on to me by telephone, which we will bring to the Lord today. Not everything can be said from the front here. Both good and evil always run side by side, and especially when God sets out to do something glorious, the enemy will do everything he can to stop God's course. But not in ourselves or out of our own conviction, but by looking up to God, we can say with conviction, Jesus is the victor. Let things be as they are. If we have become the seed of Abraham by grace, then we do not look at what is before our eyes, but at the one who made the promise. And we look to him in faith, as though we saw him, and live in the conviction that he will fulfill all that he has promised. It cannot be otherwise. Faith in God is connected to the promises he has made to his people in his word. And we know God only as the faithful and true God, who cannot and will not break his word, but, as we have often read in the letter to the Hebrews, that he has confirmed the immutability of his will with an oath. Perhaps I should read that, because that is such a strengthening of faith, and we all need it. We all need it, even if we sometimes think we can do without it. We all need a very strong strengthening of faith. In Hebrews, in chapter 6, there are these wonderful words. Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 15. Hebrews 6, from verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What a marvelous and glorious word. It not only comforts us, it strengthens us, gives us confidence in our faith, lifts us up, and gives us new courage to serve and follow the Lord, to know, just as he promised with Abraham and then fulfilled it, so he will do with all believers by grace. God keeps His promises. Heaven will collapse before His word deceives me, as the song goes. Why has God led us to put the emphasis on His word, not on explanations or interpretations, which can be one way today and another tomorrow, but on the infallible, eternally valid, eternally lasting, unchanging Word of God, and we remain founded on it by grace. When we look back without judgment at all the many versions that have been produced in the course of our time, then we can give thanks anew that the Lord has kept us in His word. I did not have a word for this evening, but from the brief conversation with Brother Kupfer, I would like to address the fact with which we have become acquainted or familiarized through the ministry of Brother Branham, namely, with the last sign that the Lord gave to His church, as He did to the people of Israel and the Samaritans, and at the time of Abraham, that He revealed the thoughts of their hearts. And you all know that there are brothers who go beyond the testimony of the Holy Scriptures to the right and to the left. And when it is written here, in the days in which the Son of Man reveals Himself, and when Brother Branham then refers to it, then they say, see, it was him, it was him. But if we look closely at the Holy Scriptures, we can still distinguish between the Lord Jesus and a ministry that is carried out in His name. If we can no longer do that, then I don't know what else we can do. And this must become part of our flesh and blood. It must penetrate our soul and spirit, our marrow and bones, so that we remain rock solid in the Word of God forever. Before we come to Luke 17 and Matthew 24, let me just show you that the Holy Scriptures cannot be read only by the mind or in the order of the chapters, but that it takes revelation by the Spirit to put all things in the place where they belong. When we read about the coming of the Lord in the Holy Scriptures, we find it several times in the Gospels and the Epistles, and then especially in the book of Revelation. It is referred to again and again, for example in Revelation 16. I'll just pick out a few scriptures in particular and show you something. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is written here in Revelation 16, verse 15. We could have read in chapter 14 already. I'll do it now, so that we don't leave that out either. Revelation 14, verse 14. And I looked, And behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle, and so forth. Now we read chapter 19. Here from verse 1, the wedding feast in glory is described. Revelation 19, from verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, and so on. Then it says in verse 9, And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Here the marriage supper is described. Before that, behold, I come. Behold, his coming with the clouds. Again and again the reference. Here the marriage supper is described to us. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, we read about the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21, verse 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. If we observe the sequence in chapter 19 from verse 1 to 10, the marriage supper, from verse 11, the Lord comes down, the final battle takes place. All the birds of the air gather together. You can read it from verse 17. To eat the flesh of kings and chief captains, because the Lord has won the last battle and made an end to everything. Then in Revelation 20, from verse 1, the millennial reign is described. Verse 7 then says, And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Then comes the final judgment from verse 11 to the end of chapter 20. And then in 21, verse 1, it says about the new heaven and the new earth. Then in verse 2, of the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. And now you will be amazed when, after all this, I read to you again from chapter 22 what I read to you before all these chapters. Revelation 22. Here we read from verse 6. Revelation 22. From verse 6. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. If you were to look at it chronologically, it would all fit so marvelously one after the other. And then after chapters 19 and 20 and 21 comes chapter 22. And when we look at the final judgment in chapter 20 and see the white throne, books were opened, and also the book of life, and all people were judged, And whoever was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, then the new heaven and the new earth. It all fits together wonderfully. And then comes chapter 22, which takes us back in time again. Back in time, because it's still talking about months. I'll read it to you. And eternity has no months. It says here in Revelation 22, from verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." 100% a description of the condition in the millennium. With absolute and 100% certainty. I can take you to Ezekiel 47, where the exact same words are written. But I say or read these scriptures for a very specific reason, namely to show us that we cannot read the Bible like a book or some newspaper, but with divine authority we must set forth the plan of salvation of our God as it is right. Here in Ezekiel 47, I would like to read at least the verses that are in connection with Revelation 22. Ezekiel 47, verse 12. "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months." Did we read the same thing in Revelation 22? Exactly. God's word always agrees. Now let's come to the topic of this evening in a hurry, to Luke chapter 17. And I want to speak slowly on purpose, because it's doctrinal. When you evangelize, the thing has to come. There has to be fire and also a bit of enthusiasm. But in a presentation of what is prophetically or doctrinally important, it must be brought in clarity so that the last person can follow and understand it. The emphasis that Luke 17, which Brother Branham also emphasized, lies in the verses up to 30. But for the sake of truthfulness, I must read the entire context. You all know, verse 30 has been emphasized again and again, just as in Revelation 10, the seventh verse has been emphasized over and over again before all the other verses. But you all know how it is with us in this place. We want to know the context, and only from the context can we know what the individual verse means and what it refers to. To be clear, if I want to know what is meant in verse 30, then I can take the liberty of reading from verse 25 to, let's say, verse 35. And then I have this one verse, which is the point embedded in all the other verses. Then I no longer need to interpret, no longer need to guess, only to believe and accept what we are told. Let's read Luke 17 from verse 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Let us note, both times with Noah and with Lot, both times destruction of all. One went into the ark, the other went out of Sodom. But both times, judgment came immediately after that happened. Now we read verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I read the verse again, and then I continue reading. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his staff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there the vultures will gather. The context is very clear, and there are three terms in connection with the Son of Man. One is when the Son of Man is revealed. The second, when you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And the third, when you see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You have to be able to categorize these three things biblically in order to know in what context they belong. Here, in Luke 17, it seems very clear to us all. There was Noah. God revealed to him what would happen. He was the prophet. He came on the scene with a message. Then this time of proclamation, in which the ark was built at the same time, came to its conclusion. And then Noah went into the ark, and 7 days passed. And after the 7 days, the destruction came. It was not an interpretation, not a sermon, but God acting according to what He had announced, namely that it would rain. It wasn't someone who went around the ark and said, "Dear ones, I want to tell you something now. So and so is the story." But they didn't hear it. They experienced it and saw what happened. Namely, that God's word was literally fulfilled. That is what matters. Not the interpretation, but the literal fulfillment of God's word. What was it like in the days of Abraham and Lot? They run parallel. They lived at the same time, with the difference that Abraham was not in Sodom at all, and Lot was then called out. What happened? On the same day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone, and the fire fell and burned up what was to be burned, and Lot's wife, looking round, became a pillar of salt. Again, it was not interpretation and explanation, but literal fulfillment of what God had said. Is it true or not? Well, we have the promise in the prophet Malachi of the day of the Lord that will come and that will burn like an oven. In it, the wicked will be like straw and stubble, and the day of the Lord that is coming will burn them up. I want to read that too, perhaps just this one passage from 2 Peter 3, so that all of us who are so New Testament oriented can stick with it. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Sorry, Brother Kupfer, I was a bit quick. You have to translate. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Then the promise, before that terrible day of the Lord comes, which will burn like an oven, the Lord said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." And when this period of this ministry will be over, then there must be a conclusion, then fire must fall. If it doesn't fall, God didn't say what He meant or didn't mean what He said. When people claim that everything ended with Brother Branham, then I simply have to say that's when it really began. Because when he went home, The whole religious world knew about a great man of God, William Branham, a great man of God, to whom no other man could be compared, but nobody knew anything about a divine message, about an Elijah, about a restoration, about everything that had to come. Nobody knew anything about it. And I will never forget the day in April 1966 and again afterwards in December 69 when I was sitting in conversation with Sister Branham and the Statscliffe brothers. I literally asked them, Sister Branham, during the time your husband was alive, did you know what this was about? And she said simply, no, I didn't know. What do I mean by that? There are people today who have slept through all these years, but now come and don't see and recognize the connection and bring unrest into the kingdom of God, make claims that lack any reality and also have no foundation. Everything God does will always be in conformity with His word. Noah went in, but before that was the announcement, it will rain. Lot came out. Before that was the announcement, I will burn Sodom and Gomorrah. Both happened as God had said. The same must and will happen again in this generation. When the ministry and the task that God has set for Himself will have found its completion, then the church will be taken up as Lot went out and Noah went in. Brother Branham said literally, how marvelous. The one went out and the other went in. It's a sign that the bride comes out of all denominations and goes into Christ, cause only in Him are we safe and secure. But in the end, there must be the transformation and the rapture, and then the fire must fall. If anyone says that everything has already happened and we have nothing more to wait for, then that is not the case. But everything will happen in the order that God has said it will. Now, let us look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Here, first of all, there is talk of those who will appear and even perform miracles and signs and say that he's in the wilderness and so on. But in verse 27, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And now comes the same expression as in Luke 17, for wheresoever the carcass is, there the vultures will gather. Exactly the same thing. The same one who revealed himself is the same one who will come again to take home his own, to whom he revealed himself. There is a difference or a time gap between revelation and bringing home, between what had to be announced and proclaimed, and then until the thing can be accomplished. In the meantime, is our calling out, our teaching, our preparation, and we must use this time. And we know very well that after the rapture comes the great tribulation. The sun turns into darkness, and the moon turns into blood, and the stars will fall from heaven. And there are those who say the Lord has come, and the moon shines as always, and the sun also, and the stars are where they were. They just fantasize. I can't stand it. If anyone understands how holy God is about His Word, he dares not approach the Holy Scriptures unless he has divine authority to do so, in order to classify things as they have been seen and written down by God. Let us note, after the rapture comes the great tribulation, of which it is written, "Pray that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass upon the whole earth." Did you read it? Luke 21. You can all read it. But let's just read now the next verse from Matthew 24. Here it says, Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Two different comings. One coming speaks of the taking away. Two shall lie on one bed, two shall grind at one mill, two shall be in one field, one taken, one left behind. Here, following the tribulation period, it is about His coming to the Jews. And let me read this to you very clearly from the Word of God, so that you know that He comes before the tribulation to take us home. And then this marvelous divine order, that only after the tribulation will the sun and moon lose their light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens be shaken. And only then, it says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. If anyone says that the Son of Man has returned, the bride is still here, the time of tribulation has not yet come, and no generation on earth has yet mourned, and no one has yet seen the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Everyone is still celebrating their feasts. Soon it will be carnival. No one is weeping, no one is wailing, everyone is jolly. And yet there are people who claim that all this has already been fulfilled, without it actually having happened. No, our God is a true God. Turn to this word we have just read, to Revelation chapter 1. And you will see that this coming here says exactly the same thing that we have just read here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. But at that time his coming as the Lord, as the Almighty. Let me read verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. It is impossible to miss things. What does the prophet Zechariah say? They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and every tribe shall mourn for him. Is it written like that or not? So, in the Bible, Everything is in wonderful order, and believe me, it overwhelms me how God, whether prophets or apostles, whether it's the Gospels, whether it's the Old or New Testament, how marvelously and how harmoniously everything is coordinated. But we have to be attuned to this divine harmony. And that doesn't happen up here. It has to happen in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When the Lord comes again, visible to all eyes, even to the Jews who pierced him, it will be a different coming, not the coming to take the bride home, but to reveal himself to his people. And then they will look on him whom they have pierced and ask, "Where did you get your wounds?" And he will say, "They were given to me in the house of my friends." And they will recognize him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn as one mourns for his only son. When we read these words, we must say, even a fool cannot err if he is of good will to follow the divine footsteps of the revealed word. It is of no use to take a quote here or there out of context and still give authority to the matter by saying, "The prophet said it." The prophet neither could nor wanted to say anything else, nor did he say anything other than what God had already said through all the prophets and apostles. There's no other way. What God has said must always and will always correspond. So, we are still waiting for the completion. As far as I can tell, not even the calling out as a whole has taken place yet. God has called out a tribe, let me call it that way, to give us the opportunity to sound or carry the call to the whole world. That's the way God has always done it. Didn't Brother Branham have a church and people standing behind him in many cities across the country so that he could bring the message? Hasn't God made it so now that we can carry the message that has been brought and the food that has been stored in, that we can give it out by grace? Oh, how grateful we can be that God has looked upon us so graciously and has led us into his word and into his will. And therefore, all these shots that don't hit the bush, but always so beautifully the target that is hit. But that is also a very beautiful sign that God has something in mind for us. I am not saying this out of presumption. I am saying it because it's true. God has a plan. God has a program. And there is no coincidence with God. We may sometimes see it somewhere, but God doesn't see it. With God, everything is planned. And we are part of this divine planning. God wanted it to be so, that his revealed word would be carried out into the whole world. Not an interpretation, not an opinion, but the proclamation of the whole counsel of God in the light of the revealed truths that God has put anew upon the lampstand in this time. We cannot possibly continue in the old waters. We have come out and hope that we have not taken a Babylonian garment with us, under which some things have remained hidden, but that we have come out of Babylon, and that Babylon has also come out of us. Shall we be clear? How many have come out of the Babylon at that time? At the time of the Reformation, and then again and again a coming out, and they took old things from Babylon with them, Trinity and Triune Baptism and all the things that are unbiblical. But God has sent a prophet to expose the whole thing, to show us the freedom and show us where things have gone wrong, to make a correction. And by grace, we can recognize this and agree with it inwardly and say, Lord, you have done this wonderfully. This is what you promised in your word. This is how we have experienced it, and this is how we see it happening now. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached for a witness unto all nations. Not a gospel, but the gospel. This divinely joyful message that contains everything that God has promised. And then we too will be glad, despite all the suffering and misunderstandings. We have a goal in mind. We know who we believe in. We know who has spoken to us. And we are grateful that we can follow him. If God gives us grace, we will put all these things in order doctrinally, little by little, with God's help. Don't think I come here as someone who knows something. I know just as much as anyone else and just as little. But suddenly light comes. Suddenly inspiration comes. Suddenly things start to fit together. And then you can no longer close your eyes. Then you have to open them. And the light shines forth from every scripture. And you see the connections as God meant them. Of course, we have to admit that throughout the Old Testament and also in the Gospels, there's talk of the Jews and of what is meant for the nations. And what happened then, and what happened 70 AD with the destruction, where it says, woe to those who are pregnant or have children to feed in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter, and so on. It's not easy to put all these things in order, but they are in order. Only God had to say so much in a short time. And we must have the grace to put this much said in the right order. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to the living God, who bends down to us in such a way, through his word, through his spirit, and by grace we may be under the blood of the Lamb. And as we read at the beginning, the Lord God has sworn an oath. He became surety that all his promises will be fulfilled, and that will happen, as it did with Noah, as it did with Lot, that the things that were literally announced also happened. So it will be when the Son of Man reveals himself. So it will be when his revelation among his people has reached its conclusion and climax, so that he who revealed himself can come again to take home those to whom he could reveal himself. Isn't that marvelous? And we will all feel it. It will not be a doctrine. It will be a reality, a tremendous reality. The resurrection will also be a reality. The transformation will be a reality. The going up into the air will be a reality. The meeting of the Lord will be a reality. The marriage supper will be a reality. Not just a sermon. Now is preaching, but then is the fulfillment of the preaching of the word. Then is the thing itself. Aren't you glad? that God has given us this grace, has that been clear enough? I'm sure. I'm sure. God bless you. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, without knowing what to say, I have come into this side room, O Lord, without preparation, without having the slightest thing in my heart or mind. Lord, you have seen your people and have looked down in favor. You instruct us, you strengthen us, you establish us. Every service has its justification. You do something special in every service. And for this we thank you. And we ask you to continue to reveal your will and to do it. Let us have part in what you do until the end, in full connection with what you have promised and what you carry out. Thank you that you are so close to us, that you speak to us, that our hearts burn because your word has gone out to us. Faithful God, you know for all the prayer requests, all the needs, whatever may be, you know the circumstances, O Lord. Together we pray to you in this hour, especially the case in Austria. Faithful Lord and God, you are able to turn every curse into a blessing, to loosen every spell, to give freedom, to lead out, and to reveal yourself. We pray for all those who are lying there sick. Lord, be close to them. Be their physician. May you reveal yourself for who you are. For the lost, you are the Savior. To the sick, you are the physician. A father to your children. Always reveal yourself for who you are. Lord, we thank you. You have become everything to us. You teach us and admonish us. You strengthen us. You call us out. We thank you for the prophetic ministry. We thank you for Brother Branham. You began the last part of the plan of salvation with him. We thank you for that. You sent us the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. You also told us that his message would forerun your second coming, and it does. We thank you for it, and we praise your glorious name. And when this message of yours has reached the last one at the ends of the earth, then the door will close. Then you will take us home. And then the judgments will come upon this earth. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We want to say no more. A marvelous picture unfolds before us. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name, bless young and old. May decisions be made in our hearts for your name's honor and praise. Lord, may we recognize the seriousness of the hour, and may the message of God become great to us anew. Lord, we thank you for this. It is not an empty teaching, but a word of God, full of power, that is manifested in those who believe it. Beloved Lord, you know all the hearts that have been affected by conversations of this and that kind, and what inner struggle may be going on here and there. May we all recognize, by your grace, that only conversation with you is true and leads us to our goal. Lord our God, every man is a liar, even if he constantly says, I tell you the truth. For this is what you have said, God alone is true, even though every man is a liar. My God, help us. Tear us away from the words of men and bring us to you, to your feet, that we may hear you speak. Then comes revelation, then comes instruction, and then comes clarity. Lord, I thank you. May your blood-bought multitude be consecrated to you here and in all places throughout the earth. Lord, will you let a word of power be spoken so that the enemy may let your people go? As in the days of Moses, when the command was given, let my people go, Lord, it will be done. Thank you. Praise, honor, and glory. It will happen. Your people will go forth. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, once again I pray that you give this divine clarity to each individual and make them realize what is at stake now, namely to come into lockstep with you and your revealed word, which is always in conformity with your written word. You are a God of your word. Your word went forth to the prophets. You became flesh as the word. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. May you yourself and all your promises be manifested in us to the praise and honor of your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.